This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Scott Fahlman is a computer scientist at Carnegie Mellon University, where the focus of his research is on artificial intelligence. Currently, he's working on SCONE, an open-source knowledge-based system. Now, to be honest, I have no idea what that means, and the real reason that we asked Fahlman to speak with us is not his impressive career in AI, but because of something he invented in 1982 that is now used about 6 billion times a day. And this thing, this will be his legacy, no matter what else he accomplishes, and will probably be the thing that the world remembers him for. So, Scott Fahlman, can you tell our listeners what it is that you are credited with inventing?
Well, back in 1982, we had very crude social media in those days. Basically, you could send email to a bulletin board where everyone could read it, and it was text-only email. And we were trying to find a way to indicate sarcastic comments because, of course, there's no tone of voice in those kind of messages or anything like that. We didn't have any graphics, so we were trying to think what the marker should be for jokes. I'm only kidding. And I proposed colon minus parenthesis in a post to this local bulletin board, and that seems to have gone viral on us.
So you created the emoticon.
Well, I created the smiley face. A lot of people want to fight over what the first emoticon is. I think maybe it was the exclamation mark. But I proposed the colon minus parenthesis one way for smiling and the other way for frowning, and that seems to have been what caught fire and mutated and led to all these other things.
This was in 1982. You were 34, relatively new there at Carnegie Mellon. Did you have any idea what you had created?
No, we were having a stupid discussion about what would happen if the elevator went into free fall, and somebody said, okay, now due to these experiments, the elevator's been damaged, and somebody else got bent out of shape by that. And, so this was just something I tossed off in 10 minutes in the middle of that silly discussion. We didn't even save a copy. I thought it would, amuse the 10 or 20 people listening in, and that would be that.
Well, somebody has gone back to dig out a copy from September of 1982 of your proposal of the following character sequence for joke markers. And we have the colon, the minus, and the parenthesis, the smiley face. But you never got certainly paid for this, did you?
No, that's my little gift to mankind, if you think about it, if it cost people 5 cents to use this or something, then nobody would use it, or if you had to get my permission. So it had to be free. I mean, there was no way to make money from it that I could see.
But do you have any regrets at all about at least not realizing that you could monetize it, as were the terms back then, to capitalize it or control it, perhaps, somehow?
Well, again, at the time, I never thought it was going to last longer than a day, and then it spread through Carnegie Mellon, and I thought, oh, this is going to last a week. And I never thought that, 33 years later, this thing would have spread around the world, morphed into these things. But I used to always say I never made a dime from this, and then somebody came up and gave me a dime, so I'd have to stop saying that. So now I just say I never made $1 million from it, and I hope
you're
somebody tried
that
to shut me up. Yeah.
Well, you said these things. Do you not like the contemporary emoji?
I'm not crazy about the graphical ones. There was a little challenge in trying to say something amusing with just typographical characters and make, different faces and characters and so on. And I think the graphics just kind of stomp on all that. If they make people happy, great. More power to them. Just don't send me one. The one thing I do resent is when software jumps in, and I've sent somebody a text emoticon, and the software jumps in and turns it into one of those graphical things.
Oh, right, when you do a colon.
Without my permission.
I see, right, exactly. Is there any way to prevent that? You're the computer scientist.
Yeah, well, it's one software program after another, and most of them you can disable that.
Well, Dr. Fahlman, I started this conversation talking about your legacy. Does it bother you that you're going to be remembered or talked to or about the emoticon?
Well, this was 10 silly minutes of my life 34 years ago, and it's kind of weird that this is probably the most famous thing I'll ever do, even if I make major inroads into the study of artificial intelligence. However, it's kind of fun to be something, to be a little bit famous for something.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's been a fun ride. I've been invited to places to give talks on this, and some of them have been fun places. I've met a lot of people. If I'm going to be remembered for something completely trivial, at least it's a happy something trivial.
Well, it does seem to like history remembers a good story. So is the creation of the smiley face just a better story or maybe easier story to tell than that of your work in artificial intelligence?
Yeah, it takes me a little while to explain what I'm doing in AI, and it depends on the educational level of who's listening and, you know, how much they know about computers to begin with.
Okay, so assume that I'm a third grader in science.
Okay.
What would you like to tell me about SCONE, the program that you are working on?
Well, what I've been doing pretty much my whole career is trying to get some kind of common sense into these systems. So they're AI systems that do impressive things, but they're mostly things people go away to college to learn, you know, chess and solving complex linear equations, nonlinear equations, and solving chemistry problems and so on. But we still don't have intelligent programs that know what a table and a chair is and that you sit on one and you're supposed to, you know, put stuff on the other, maybe eat from it. That it's a good idea to open a door before you go through it, which we have to tell the robots. So what all people have by the time they're, you know, 5 years old or certainly 10 is this huge store of knowledge about the world. You know, different jobs, different kinds of people. What are the rules for talking to your elders? And that differs from one culture to another, which you learn later. So there's, when we say common sense, it's really all the knowledge we have in common. But you can't just plug in Wikipedia to an AI system and have that be good enough, because the knowledge has to get into the game. It has to play a role in all your thinking, and it has to be accessible to you when it's needed and not get in your face the rest of the time.
You spend a
lot. So I'm trying to build a system that will support that and people can use and put into their various AI programs or even not AI programs and make them more sensible, easier to deal with, and we're trying to get them to understand natural language, you know, simple English.
You've been working at this for a long time. Do you think you'll see that, realize it in your lifetime?
Well, it depends on my funding, but yeah.
Well, I actually read something about your funding, that it's about to expire. Now, what does that mean and what
then
is next?
The current grant we're on is about to expire, and we're talking with those folks about maybe the next grant. But it depends if the government gets shut down and all of those things. This is mostly federal research money.
Don't they know who you are?
Well, there are a lot of smart people working in this field, and right now this is not the most fashionable kind of research. Everybody's working on machine learning and big data, you may have heard about. The kind of AI I'm working on is just what people can do. You know, a lot of the field is off doing all these things that no human can actually do, and I'm trying to get the stuff that every normal person just does without even thinking about it.
You said earlier it's nice to be a little bit famous. Is it better then to be in the history books for something you're not entirely proud of or take complete ownership of than to be left out of them entirely?
Well, it's my goal to be in the history book for something else also. You know, which is why I'm still working at this. I'd like to make some real inroads into artificial intelligence and make some lasting difference in the field. I've done some things that are, you know, of some value to the field, but I think what I'm working on now is maybe the big home run.
To that I say, colon, minus, parentheses.
which kind of parenthesis?
The parenthesis that looks happy.
Okay, that's good.
Dr. Scott Fallman, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Right, thank you.
Scott Fallman, he's a research professor at Carnegie Mellon University and inventor of that little smiley face that became the emoji. You can read a portrait of him from Narratively. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org.